As you open your mind, let life be the thought. As you open your eyes, let life be the glow. As you open your ears, let life be the melody, layer after layer after layer. You know what day it is, you know what time it is, and you know you are tuned in to the Inside Hour on BBSRadio.com. Dr. Leonard Horowitz, the host of Inside Hour, and co-host Rev Roxy are on the air. Now, when I said they were on the air, I want to tell you that Dr. Len is listening in. Now, he is going to be, maybe he'll jump in on the conversation, maybe he will not. But right now, I want to tell you something. I have to, you know, everybody knows, I have to give it up to you know who. And if God is my witness, God is my best friend, God is my co-pilot tonight. Now, what I do want to say is that what I am saying is not from originality. Oh, no, 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 I am in the spirit and I am fired up. Now, one has to understand that there's a great responsibility in being in the spirit. And for those of you who are in the spirit, you know what I'm talking about. You see, it is time for us now to really understand that there's something going on in this land, and we have to take a stand. How's that for a little poetry right here, right off the bat? You see, the voice is a powerful medium. Now, Dr. Lynn is talking about 144,000 voices. 144,000 voices. Now, they do have an old saying that says, we can't all talk at the same time, but we can all sing a song together. Now, before we get into tonight's show, which is going to be about two things tonight, okay, I am going to be talking to you about probably one of the most incredible researchers. And there are a lot of researchers out there. That's my love, is researchers. That's why I'm over here with Dr. Leonard Horowitz. There is one thing no one will argue with. The man's research is impeccable. There's nobody out there in the universe calling him a crackpot. They are calling him a prophet. They are saying, hey, there's something to what you are saying. I am seeing the effects. I am testing the philosophies. I am beginning to consider things I never thought about before. Thank you, Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Yes, I love the real Da Vinci Code. The way we can become successful is to create success and to support each other in that success, to take the vehicle, just like this radio show, BBSRadio.com, this whole thing. These people, Don Newsom and his family, take a great responsibility. They don't censor. They don't tell you what you can and cannot talk about. And they encourage you to take the stand, whatever it is that gets you up and talking and caring and leading you to understanding. This is the initiative. This is the idea of this here radio station. And that is a powerful trust. And those of us who have the fortune to be able to say something and have it archived, this is a true blessing. You see, they said it in Jesus Christ Superstar, if you come today, you would have reached the whole nation. Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication. Amen for that? But we do have this thing called .coms. We have this thing called the net, you see, which connects us. Now, here we are in a time where we are now so empowered in our knowledge about our spirituality and nanotechnology and how clever we are of being able to take this or that and extract this and boom, look, it looks just like the real thing. This is anti-God business. This is anti-matter business, anti-gray matter business. You catch my drift? Now, for some of you, you might say, Reverend Roxy, could you slow it down? And I say, that's what the archives are for. I'm in the spirit. You can play it back and you can hear it. I am so excited to tell you that the forces of disruption are in an open fight against the truth and that the wicked tend to resort to duplicity. And the secret intrigues of these ringleaders and all of the disinfected people and the hypocrites who follow those who are now in a war to strip us of the last idea that was the first idea in the first place, you see. This is a anti-matter. Yes, sir. Now, I know that all of you physicists out there understand the power of anti-matter, you see. And what we have now is a force in the universe who is telling us something and our very core of being, like sheep being led off to slaughter, remembering that if we go this way, we're dead meat. If we go, I do remember that the goat that we just went that way. So why would I want to, I trust that. Well, you see, that's the Judas goat, you see. And that's where America is. We have been following the Judas goat. The Judas goat has been raised amongst us, serves a purpose. We've learned, some of us, to trust this goat. This goat tells us when it's time to eat. This goat tells us when it's time to go to bed. This goat tells us what kind of medicines we can and cannot have. This goat tells us what news we're supposed to believe. This goat tells us what books we're supposed to read. This goat, you know, you see, I'm Reverend Roxy, see, cause I can't, I'm not going to use words like, you know, anymore like Satan, because, you know, even Satan done gave up. Satan done been outmatched. I know some of you probably say, wait a minute, you mean that's true? I say, yeah, think about it. Really, really think about it. Satan has given up. It's good news. Now, what is still going on is that ripple effect of all his. But I'm telling you, if you read your Bible, you know that Satan at some point is going to give it up because, see, I know that somewhere in them revelations there's this little aspect of our life and human condition which seems to be prone towards violence these days. And I want to tell everybody that we must now cease and desist to glorify violence. This is the part of the whole crux of it all, that we can watch these things happen to people and not have it affect us. Now, that is some serious conditioning, folks. You see, this is serious conditioning. Now, I know everybody's well-mannered and well-meaning out there, and you're eating your three squares, and you're trying to keep up with the bills, and you got a lot of things. And then along comes Reverend Roster that says, it is now time to gather together in a mighty prayer, because I'm going to tell you, when you find out exactly what they have in store for everybody, and some of you are getting a sneak preview, you see. This is what we're talking about here. But yet, if we all unite together, and I know some of you say, I'm preaching to the choir, but no, let me tell you how far this goes. I am preaching to the congregation. You understand? And not all the time do you get an amen from the congregation, you see. Sometimes there's people in the congregation that might just not agree with you. And see, this is what needs to cease and desist this act. Antagonistic, you done heard me say it 100 times, antagonistic skepticism about the realities of the now. Oh, I do keep a vision in my head. Oh, yes, I do, because I have been told that we will cage the rage, we will dry all tears, and we're going to end all suffering and destroy all the fears. We're going to stop the greed, and we're going to end all the wars, and this earth is going to be paradise like it was before. In the beginning, you see. So, I have no idea who I am talking to. And I am not necessarily intrigued as to whether or not I am even talking to anybody. Because a true teacher is one who is disinterested in whether or not you learn, you see. And when you look at that word learn and you really break it down, you've got an angle and you've got earn. All right? So if you have the right angle, and I like that word angle because it looks a lot like angel. So you got spirituality going on above you, and you got the finite Euclidean geometric kind of world going on that's fixed in the solid. And you can learn and earn knowledge that allows you to pass between these two worlds until you don't want to entertain this solid matter anymore, because it will not matter. You see, the former things are soon to pass away. So then why are you struggling? Why is everybody striving? You see, there is only one thing to do, and to do it quickly. Accept your Godhead. Now, for those of you who don't have one, then accept your lack of Godhead, you see, and start from there. I tell people when I meet them, because I can see them, to act as if, and it soon will be a reality. And I'm going to ask you all, don't look outside yourself in 2007. Now, what do I mean by that? If you spend your time looking outside yourself, then you are going to miss something. Focusing on all you see has nothing to do with going in. And the in is the thought world. Oh, my goodness. Racing across that there screen inside that vacuum-packed head. Okay, for some of us, it may not be vacuum-packed. It might have been opened up a few times. Some of us have even experienced near death from brain trauma. And all I can say is that's another subject all in itself. Tonight's subject, first of all, I was talking to Dr. Lynn, and I said, Dr. Lynn, you know, April 4th, done come and gone. We spent a lot of time celebrating Martin Luther King. And we always seem to be wanting to celebrate his birthday. And I have an opinion that it's more important to celebrate a martyr day. And the martyr day is April 4th, 1968. And it was the prelude to the dissolution of a powerful people. And that people was so powerful. Oh, my goodness, that people was so powerful. We, the people, were so powerful. We were starting to begin to cross all kinds of color barriers and social barriers and religious barriers. We were starting to meet and to exchange ideas and to get beyond the differences and into the necessities of becoming a great nation. And yet, as you know, and as every minister knows, oh, yes, there is an influence in the world, and we all know this. But let me tell you something, folks. You just have no. Oh, you may think you do because you done seen all kinds of movies and Denzel Washington and all of these people, you know, want to tell you. Will Smith going to tell you something. Then you got the Italian people, De Niro and all of them telling you the other side. You got all kinds of stories like John Grisham telling you how nasty and horrible attorneys are, and yet one does not want to get out of the fiction and into the reality of the fact that that's all trying to tap you on the shoulder to tell you there's not enough God in the world, that there was a time when there was a whole lot of God in the world. I don't know how many humans there was. I think there was like Adam and Eve and They might have had Cain and Abel, but no, they had to leave by then. So you see what I'm saying? It's a very short history in terms of the perfection of man. And it is that act as if and it is soon be reality that will propel us to reject that which we know to be evil. You see, it comes to a time, and this is what they want you to really understand. That's why they heating it up. That's why the violence is so large and the alienation is so great and our children are in such pain. They can't deal from day to day with the lack of love and humanness in the world, the kind of cavalier way, the Machiavellian thought of how it is that it will be in like 2020, and that they're looking and seeing it all and saying, my goodness, there's no God here, and yet I'm being told to be good. To be good and to obey God. When all around them, what do they see? A reflection. This brings me to the point. I have the dissolution of powerful people, which is the minority. Now, when I say that, I include black, white, indifferent, but the biggest minority that I am the shepherd of is the poor. And what I mean by the poor, and it makes me tear, and I want everybody to understand something. There is so much going on in the world that if you are not tearing, and I'm not crying because I know my president doesn't want a sniveling minister, but I can't help but have the tears flow when I look at these beautiful people being paraded on our internet screens as being terrorists. And being shackled, for it reminds me of the 60s. It tells me that we are turning up the heat one more time. Just when we had it turned down to a simmer because we knew we couldn't put the fire out, the hate that is propelling this universe and our government is so large, people. They are so bitter. They are so bitter. Why are they bitter? They say they're getting revenge for all of the killings that the Iraqis have caused, and that for every American life, 1,000 people must die. Where have we heard this stuff before? Where's the patriotism in that? Where's the patriotism, and where is God in any of it? And when will it stop? You see, David Starr Jordan, who was the first president of Stanford University, and I paraphrase, so I don't have an exact quote in my hands at this particular time, in a call to nation, and that's why I love the internet so much, because as you listen to my voice, I can point you to a place. So you all that are listening to me, let's do a little experiment. Type in David Star Jordan, and then look up a call to a nation, at which time you will see that he is a prophet who said a long time ago that our whole being as a nation is for peace, not war, you see. Now, that's a hard thing to take. When you really realize that our whole constitution and our political freedoms and everything that we've been enjoying up to this time is based upon Machiavellian thought and Adam Smith, the wealth of a nation. And the wealth of a nation is stored up in its labor and also in its ability to wage war, which then leads to what? Reparations or agreements and treaties, at which time people sit down and have a little break, and then they start off again because they didn't like the treaty, and so then they want their lands back, and we know this is happening, for every educated person in the world has studied history. But from a myopic point of view, in terms of what is concerning you, today what should be concerning you is the erosion of your freedoms. Now, you know Dr. Len is talking all the time about vaccines, and some of you may have heard or have read or have gone to the trouble to read about these new cancer prevention vaccines. Now, you see, there's a terminology that we use in the field called the magic bullet theory. Now, the magic bullet theory, when it came to Kennedy, was a bullet that went through his neck and around his back and did the hokey pokey, and it came out the other side. This, we were asked to swallow, all right? But now, we're talking about, what was I talking about? Oh, June, help me here. The vaccination. Yes, the vaccination, which is called Gardasil, that was had people yesterday, it was in the news, lining up in New Hampshire. Now, what's interesting about this, folks, is you really have to understand is that as we all talking about abortion and we talking about this and we talking about whether right to life and all of that, we have come into a situation where it is almost embarrassing for me to sit up here and tell you that our legislation is trying to pass legislation for an anti-cancer vaccine, and they want to give it to little girls. They want to give it to little girls. Why? Because there's no more parents to explain to them the birds and the bees. You know that song, "Let Me Tell You About the Birds and the Bees and the Flowers and the Trees." There's no one to tell little girls anymore. Is this it? And if it's just little girls, is it only little girls that can get cancer from sexually transmitted diseases? What about little boys? What about all the other cancers that are happening because people are indiscriminately having all kinds of carefree madness? And I use these words carefully that I say, for we are talking not about the natural love between two people who have been tested and tried and tested and then decide to do some kind of thing that makes them feel like they done really, you know, kind of joined each other, and they get a product of that, and it's called a child. See, this is the way it used to be, but it's not like that anymore now, folks, because we got all kinds of danger fields out here, minds. Now when you meet somebody, first thing you want to know is if they have ID. Oh, I'm only kidding about that. But it is a good thing. You know what I'm saying? And when they talk about IDs and global warming, you know, when it comes time, if we have to have those little things underneath our skin where they scan us, can they do a whole health check for people? You know what I'm saying? That would be nice. You know, not just only how much money you have in the bank, which is your stored up wealth, but whether or not you got in your body, which also starts with B, any stored up health. You see what I'm saying? Now, I hope that you all are understanding that I am a reverend, and I am a minister, and I am used to preaching, which is another form of teaching, which is another form of reaching, which is another form of leaking. Oh, that didn't rhyme, but yeah, I'm trying to leak it out to you folks that there is good news out there in the world, and it all has to do with your frequency. It all has to do with your vibration. Reverend Roxy is telling y'all, you need to sing more. You need to sing more. You need to recite more. You need to write more. You need to write in your own handwriting, which is your brain writing. You want to know how healthy everybody is in the Congress and in the Senate and in all of these special departments? Have them sit down and write one paragraph. Just go ahead and write one paragraph on why they want to continue the war. Have President Bush sit down and in his own handwriting from his own little brain, have him tell us in a letter, like, you know, take a letter, Maria, you know, that kind of thing, you know, and send it to the world, you know what I'm saying? This is what I want to do to all the little boys and girls. Now people say, oh, Reverend Roxy, you're being awful sarcastic tonight. No, I'm being awful direct because I'll tell you something. These cowboys are violating some morals that are offending me and other people who are watching and praying that it stops. I mean it when I say the forces of disruption. You can see it. There's nobody at home watching the interconnectedness of life. This is the reason why certain catastrophes have been happening lately, why people are going berserk. It's not like people go berserk just like that. Oh, I think I'll just go crazy. I think I'll just give up. I think it's a good day to die, and I feel like taking a few more organisms with me. You see, that's reflected in the macrocosm, and now it's being reflected in our inner, and it's also being reflected in Mother Earth, you see, because as our immune system is, so is hers. As it goes, so do ours, you know, and the news is kind of weird these days, you know. Bees have mites that are snuffing out their life, which means they can't fan the hive, which means they can't survive, which means there's no more honey, and that is not very funny. You see the interconnectedness of that because, see, they're the pollinators. Now, we've got people in Congress and in the Oval Office and other places like that, just roaming all over. I call them the contaminators of all time. They have done a good job of committing biocide. Now, they will probably tell us later on that they didn't mean it, but I will tell you now, yes, they did. Yes, they did. And when you find out that they did, forgive them. Forgive them, which is greater than even what Jesus Christ said, because he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Here is a lesson for all of you. Forgive them, for they knew what they were doing. Now, how great is your faith now, folks? Oh, you probably all have tuned out. Said, this person is out of their ever-loving spirit. This doesn't make any sense. And I say, neither does a vaccine to prevent cervical cancer in little girls later on. You see, the thought is so perverted. There's no learning in it. This is what I'm telling you how I've evolved to, and where does it come from? Well, the same makers of this are the same people that brought us salvation, which was the first chemotherapy drug. You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to fly off my notes tonight, folks. I ain't looking at nothing. I'm just trying to tell you what I learned in the last 24 hours, which is they've been dealing with this thing called sexually transmitted diseases for so long. I mean, we are talking about syphilis, gonorrhea, all of these venereal wars. You know, it must be running rampant out there that they have to come up with a vaccine, that people are not behaving themselves. How does an individual get all of these things? And, you know, it comes, you know, venereal, the word venereal comes from Venus, you know what I'm saying? And that have to do with love. But I don't know about this, folks. You know, this is... This has to do with mucous membranes, you see what I'm saying? And it has to do with your brain understanding something, something that other countries have already come. I know, you know, a prophet sometimes has to be a little hard on the congregation, because I'll tell you something, you better wake up and see the interconnectedness of everything. They got us so snowed on AIDS that we don't forgot that there's something that's even older than AIDS to come up. And AIDS ain't nothing but an idea. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about the body losing its defenses. Well, that comes from being in too many scraps, unnecessary scraps. That's why when Reverend Roxy starts to preach about raising Cain, or Dr. Len starts to tell you about all the different things that you can do for your body to energize it, these are the things that you need to learn. And there are other people out there in the universe who are waiting, ready, that are associated with Dr. Leonard Horowitz to help you so you know what you need to do. You know where to find Dr. Len. Dr. Len is right there on the cover pages of the BBSradio.com. Just hit that Insight Hour. That's who you're listening to right now on the BBSradio.com. You're listening to Reverend Roxy. And Dr. Lennon Horowitz is out there probably just getting to the giggle as he understands that he unleashed an unsuspecting magic bullet in the form of a mouth that comes over this phone every Tuesday. Now, there's a lot of things when you talk about that vaccine, you know, and I want everybody to really investigate this. Don't sound like no God in this. You know, I saw when I was doing my research that even Edward G. Robinson starred in a bio picture about a syphilis researcher, Paul Ehrlich. I'd sure like to get my hands on that one. This man is supposed to be the one who was supposed to come up with some kind of cure for an isolated something so that we would have a perfect drug that cured a disease without the risk of any side effects. Well, you know, the role of viruses in the transmission of certain types of cancers has been known and has been investigated, and the man that I'm talking about, this man called Mr. Roos, his name was Francis Peyton Roos, you know what I'm saying? He won a Nobel Prize. Not too much information except that he was born, and he died in 1970, and he was from Baltimore, Maryland, you know, and he went to the Johns Hopkins Medical School. You see, as you look at it all, isn't it all tied around Washington, D.C., folks? Don't you want to understand why when you look at the last pages of Bob Woodard's book and he's interviewing the president and he asks him, you know, what people he thinks people are going to say about him in the Iraq war sometime down in the future, and the president looks off into the distance as if it is so far away. And he says, we and you can read it for yourself. You start at the back of the book, but I'm paraphrasing again. Unless Sister Steve, would you give me the book, and I can do it for you. I don't want to paraphrase this, but in essence, he's saying that we'll all be dead. Now that's an interesting thing for a president to be saying that he don't expect us to be discussing what it is that he did in 2000 and 2001 and all the way up to 2008. That we're not going to be around to discuss it. Now, doesn't that whet your appetite that a man could say such a thing? I think it was in Plan of the Attack. That's the State of the Denial. I tell you, you know, I'm a big fan of Bob Woodard, only for the simple fact that if he is working for the other side, whatever the side that is, then God bless you, Bob Woodard, because you have, once again, along like with Mae Brussel, you've gotten ahead, and so you've changed their whole tune. A lot of us are still alive today. I think that the reason why they have not instituted, and you can look this one up on the Internet, the King Alfred Plan, or you can look up the heliotrope operation, which was to eliminate all minorities and to just have, you know, the Lily Whites still living around here, is that they got called out. They got railroaded in 74, you know. I mean, Watergate happened. And why did Watergate happen? Because people were watching. They were, like, fed up. By the time the 1970 came around and we had Nixon as a president, there had been so much damage to this country done. So many people imprisoned on trumped-up charges. So many people who were just come up missing, all kinds of things. And people think, oh, this is a coincidence. This is just coincidence. It's just your news, you know. But you have to really understand, where does your news come from? You see, like all the time during the 9-1-1, all the way from the very moment, I know some of you remember it like it was yesterday, being told that the APP said this, or the Associated Press said this. We've got word from the Associated Press. Well, you know, really, folks, you really got to understand that. Or we just received information from counterintelligence. Again, it sounds very official, but when you really think about it, it's nothing more than smoke and mirrors. It's like 50 television screens, all pre-edited, and someone sitting in the seat saying, now give them this and let's see what happens. Okay, now, all right, now bring in the bombing. Okay, now fade back to the reporter. There were times during that whole thing that when the reporter didn't have his copy, and I'm talking mostly about CNN and Fox News, that Channel 2 Fox News CNN feed that we got most of our information in the very beginning about. You have to understand, if someone is doing something and they give you information, my father said standing on a lie is like standing on an ice cube in the middle of the ocean. You're bound to fall off. Well, there have been so many lies. But listen, folks, you've been conditioned to accept the lie. Do I have to remind you in 1970 that we had the no-knock law? Oh, that was all right because you didn't mind opening up your door to the police. You had nothing to hide and wiretapping. But then it got even more subsidious. What happened was that if you had different thoughts than other people, if you exhibited a inclination to join radical groups, like, or to be members of things like the Black Panthers or the Weathermen or Students Again for a Democratic Whatever Society, SDS, and all the rest of these groups that I know as a young woman, trying to decide exactly what was going on, because folks, you're not going to understand where I come from until I tell you my story, and I'm not going to tell you my story until I have your total undivided attention. For me to tell you my story is to then tell you that once you tell your true story, they come and they get you. They come and they get you, and they either put you in your place or they take away your mind or they discredit you. Now, this is the most incredible way in which for the past, since I have been out of high school, has been the way in which most people have dealt with me. They try to discredit me. And when they can't discredit me, they say, she's a big mouth. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's just telling you lies. And I said, what a perfect example of projection. One of those defense mechanisms where you know you lie, so you believe that everybody in the world lies. And I'm telling you, when it comes to our national security, I, Reverend Roxy, do not lie. I have no reason to lie, for I don't even understand how I understand what I know. And what I know, I have been watching for a long time. Now, some people say, well, why didn't you step forward before now? I said, I've never had a platform on which to do it. This BBS radio, where you are listening to the Inside Hour and all the technicians and staff, they understand the dangers of some people speaking on these here airwaves. KGO understands, which was a radio station in San Francisco area that started carrying a woman who was called Mae Brussels, the queen of conspiracy theory, but that was a pejorative term as far as I'm concerned. This is the queen of researchers, and let me tell you something, backwards and forward, chapter and verse, everybody take down and get your little fannies over to maybrussel.com. And there, I want you to gift yourself and tell Tim that Reverend Roxy sent you, but you just go ahead and I want you to get up to date, get up to snuff, especially you young people, because now we have all these people strutting in front of us, and I'm going to tell you something. I've been watching them for a long time. I was involved in the 1992 caucus and the whole thing when they were trying to decide who was going to be going to New York. I had just come back from the 100th Monkey. It's 1992. I go to the door of the Union Hall, and who's standing there blowing smoke in my face? Ron Brown. Ron Brown, who soon then became the Secretary of Commerce, soon to be the deceased Ron Brown. I gave a speech, and at the time there were so many people running that usually they let you have 3 minutes, and I prepared a 3-minute speech with all the things that I was prepared to do as a Democrat going to the conference to New York City, and I was ready to travel, and I made the speech of my life, and it was only about, I would say maybe a minute. I got such applause. And I didn't bring anybody to vote for me, but I just missed getting the delegate seat. And because I had made such an impression, they wanted to make me an at-large delegate. So they called me in. Angela Alioto called me in, and her aide started to interview me. And I looked across the table at this black man, and I saw this heavy, greasy, kind of like, you know, look, and it really offended me. It was like there was an aura about him, and I was becoming agitated. And what I mean by that is that the spirit gets in me and says, call this person out. Now, that can be a painful thing when Reverend Roxy calls you out. And I had to point out to him that it was not to my liking to have someone tell me how I would have to be, especially when I'm looking at him looking so greasy. And my friend who had gone with me to the meeting when we left, and I said, you know, I think I don't want to go to New York with you, or I'll stay here, and I might even just see if I can't work with the Brown thing, you know what I'm saying? See, we can't do something with Brown. So I switched, you know, and tried to work with Brown. The Clinton campaign was crazy. So what I say to you is this, is I said that to the man, and I left. Well, you never know why you say what you say, but you just say the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Well, I was gliding across Civic Center, probably at some Food Not Bombs demonstration covering another inequity and injustice in San Francisco, of which there are many. And I saw this aide coming towards me, and he looked so different. And he shouted out to me, and I looked at him, and I said, "You look different." And he said, "Yes." He said, "I'm a vegetarian now." I said, "I see you've lost so much weight, and your face is glowing." He said, "Yeah." I said, to him as we were passing, because he's very busy and so am I, I said, "I'm going to have to get with you and share some of my good vegetarian recipes." You understand what I'm saying, folks? This is the moment-to-moment-to-moment contact. Truth will persevere in 2007, 007, James Bond kind of thing going on. You know what I'm saying? Look and call it for what it is and be ready for the feedback, you see. So in giving up a seat as a delegate in the Democratic Convention in 1992 that went on to be a kind of dog and pony show of people like Vernon Jordan and other people like that, who I had seen working with the Rockefeller Commission back in the 60s to help all us unruly Negroes who were not behaving themselves and falling in line like the little ducks we were supposed to be. I witnessed something, folks, that allowed me to then be a minister, because I knew I couldn't be something sinister, that I could not allow what I knew to be true about my country to jade me or persuade me to be anything other than understanding and loving and forbearing. And I have been waiting as long as, and here's another name for y'all to type into your search engines and get this man out of jail. This man has been in jail for 42 years. And California Penal, he didn't do nothing. And this goes back to you doing your research about the dissolution of a powerful people. You see, something happened as a result of the Detroit riots, of the DuPont Circle affair, that I have a friend who was there that day when it very well started. It started. And I know what my government is capable of when it wants to bring us under control, wants to get all its ducks in a row, and that is anti-God thought. I don't care how much an individual prays or says they're praying for the dead or the alive. My president cannot be following the same Bible, the same words and wisdom that is guiding me and a lot more of you out there. And it is time for us to back him up, because if we don't, we are all going to be asked to get on the bus. And a lot of you are too young to remember this. But I'm telling you, folks, they practiced on Negroes back in the 60s. They got an idea, and they took it forward. And that very same idea, you might as well, Abu Ghraib or Guantanamo Bay, you have San Quentin, you have Rahway, you have Attica, you've got prisons. Like we say in my family's poem, America Cut the Shit. And so you have marked and locked the way, and then you've killed in a variety of ways. This is the truth of the matter, that our whole government, and there's no God in this government. There isn't no God. There can't be any God in our Congress. There can't be any God anymore in our Senate. Something has happened. And that something has to be identified. Now, back when the Watergate thing was happening, you see how I'm discursive in my thought. I can go from what happened. Back then, John Dean said, there's a cancer upon the presidency. And say today that that cancer on the presidency has gone and has rooted itself like an evil demon throughout the entire government structure. And everybody's revolving and evolving into something less than dignified in their response to our questions about exactly what is really going on. But you don't need to ask, folks. All you need to do is good research. You understand that if our president is signing early detection cancer bills, and he is allowing Merck Pharmaceuticals to pick up the cross, and even this week, Merrick says, we're going to slow down on that mandatory stuff. So you 20 states that are trying to make it mandatory that all young girls 11 and 12 years old get this vaccine to protect them from a cervical cancer. Four types of cancer we're talking about here, folks. But do you know how many more exist and are lurking out there that are just as deadly, if not more? And some of them have to do with innocent skin-to-skin contact with the right promoters. And that's what we were talking about in the other weeks when we had Dr. Pang on, is with the right promoters. I mean, you can just boom, you know. I mean, everybody goes to a free giveaway, and everybody gets a free sample of some new pop or some new chicken strip or some new this, and the next thing you know, you've introduced something into your blood that will be in combination later. Understand, folks, this is really real. And God has sent many messengers your way. And it's ludicrous for us to think that you are going to reject it now when you understand you've seen it so many times. It just goes away because people like Dr. Len and people like me and other people who have a voice and have been watching kind of tip because they're listening. They're listening right now to what I am saying. Now, some people say, oh, don't flatter yourself, Rod and Rocks. There ain't nobody out there listening. But I know that Seth's listening, and I know Dawn is listening, and I know a lot of other people out there are listening. And I am preaching to the congregation because I ain't heard none of you sing in a long time. And talking about singing, I guess you know what you need to do to sing is to have the number. And if there's anybody out there that'd like to talk to me this evening about the 60s and the riots and want to tell me where they was on the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated and what happened to them. I know that in San Francisco there are a lot of people who remember that day like it was yesterday because they still probably have broken bones and they probably still have a memory of being terrorized. I remember where I was. I was in St. Cecilia High School, and I remember the principal coming on the PA system and saying, everybody be careful going home from school today. Martin Luther King was killed, and the black people are very angry. Now, you have to understand something, that I was one of maybe four blacks in a total parochial school system called St. Cecilia's in Englewood, New Jersey. So for me, I'm like, well, for me, black people are angry all the time. I get beat up all the time, but not because I'm black, but because I go to a parochial school. My faith is accumulative, folks. I have great faith. I mean, I was a black Roman Catholic, and I was able to overcome that, take the good, and leave all the pompous circumstance down the line somewhere. I was confirmed. I went that far. I got slapped by the bishop. I'm sure that a lot of people can relate that way. But for those of you who may want to call and say, you're crazy, Reverend Roxy, you're just absolutely insane, I'll tell you, I am blessed to let you know that I would totally agree with you. Because when you live in America where they have done the kind of things to me and to other people, that you, and then for me to be able to smile and get to the giggle, for me to still have enough inside of me, enough love for this society to start a political party, which is the Turtle Party. Some of you probably wondering when I was going to mention that. third party, the United Resolution to Love Earth Party. And like I said, I have been looking for the individual who coined that phrase, and I found him. His name's Woody Miller. I want somebody to contact him, telling him Rem Roxy's looking for him. He runs some kind of tennis thing in New Hampshire, and his son's name's Bodie Miller. So if there's anybody out there listening that knows Bodie or is into skiing or alpine skiing and something is on the slope, tell him I'm looking for his daddy, because I want to talk to him about this turtle that he coined back in 1981 or around that time. He might have thought about it a long time ago. Well, somehow or another in Sedona, I picked up on it through Teresa Gandhi, who was teaching me all about the seven principles of nonviolence, because, you know, once you decide to be a minister in the same vein as Martin Luther King and maintain your citizenship, too, you have to really understand what nonviolence is so that you cannot be provoked. I cannot be provoked. I can be excited. Oh, and I can debate, and I can certainly get down in the argument. But it's clear that that's what's happening, and there are parameters, and there are no bad feelings or ranklings or anything that comes out of it afterwards. You see, but that's not true with a lot of people who are out there today. So I really, really have to tell you that we are in a situation now where history is not only repeating itself, it's dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Ha ha ha, high story, her story, his story, world as history, human beings as history, hopefully not too soon. This is the way my brain works. My brain is dedicated to seeking out stupidity. Now, that is a great goal if you are committed to that, because there's a lot of stupid out here in the world. And one of them is that vaccine. The other is the idea that you can kill people to make a better world. Oh, my goodness. You know, it was enough. I mean, everybody must have known how complicated life must have been back in Moses' time for him not to bring down 10 commandments. And then when they decided that that wasn't going to work, they said, well, now we'll bring one man, and he'll have one commandment, love one another as I have loved you. I command you to love each other. But as they looked around, and as after he was gone, they was like, well, you know, that's not all of it. We need a little bit more than that. So they went and picked up Paul, because Paul was a mighty speaker, you know what I'm saying?
Hello.
So they figured, hello? Hello?
Mike. And,
hi, Mike.
Yeah, I lived through the 60s and 70s and 50s.
Uh-huh.
And I'm obviously not someone who was living in the ghetto at that time. I have met people who were living there when I was practicing law. I was a landlord's attorney for a shopping center.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to this Jewish guy, and at the time of the Martin Luther Day, when Martin Luther was killed, he was running a liquor store. And
he was running a liquor store?
Yeah, absolutely. In Washington.
Can you turn down your, I'm not sure if it's me or you, but we're hearing an echo. Are
okay,
you
well, I don't have the radio on, so, you know, my computer is silent.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll push the volume down and you go over and make sure it's absolutely silent. But when I do what I did, the usual, the guy who, you know, who is the contact person always hears it, even if it's very minimal. But at any rate, he was Jewish and was always very charitable to his customers in the black neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And what did happen was that the blacks in the neighborhood came out and stopped anybody from looting his store.
I've heard many stories.
Yeah. So he had his problems there. He had to move out of there.
Uh-huh.
But on the other hand, I want to say that you're exactly right on everything you said tonight. I actually have a little difficulty with the black evangelism number, which actually is like the black gospel singing is actually really great. I love it. And I'm an energy healer, and so actually I like the, evangelical school of Christianity. I think it's very good. And those are some of the people I can talk to the best. Okay, now I'm saying this because of the fact that whether or not blacks really like whites, which I know is a security guard. So I'm working as a security guard right now. And actually right now I'm working in the middle of a... I've worked as a cab driver in Washington, D.C. and had to do the ghetto stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the blacks didn't want to go into the black neighborhoods at night. They were even more afraid of it than the whites. So
well,
I would go
because
in there.
We knew something was going on.
And there was a danger. I'd go ahead and I would pick up the people. And usually I found there were like welfare mothers or grandmothers who were, or there's somebody who was working like 12 hours a day to support their children and their grandchildren who were all disabled on drugs and things like that. It was really very miserable. And
do you have a clue as to why and how?
They were all afraid.
It got that way?
What?
In D.C.?
What was that again?
Do you have a... any clue as to how it got that way in Washington, D.C. that
day? Well, actually, yeah, I think it's because of the fact that blacks, before the bipartite regime was ended in the United States, there was actually a point in time where there were starting to be very rich black people who owned department stores and owned banks and things like that. And the white establishment got afraid of it because of the fact they were starting to become an economic threat. And so they did integration, and they started hiring the most talented blacks away from the black community. And so therefore, I think it's like the ghetto Jews, the most talented Jews had to stay in the community because of the ghettos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they gave opportunity to the most talented blacks, the blacks lost their leadership. But on the other hand, this allowed the most talented blacks were so grateful for the opportunity to get out of that miserable situation and that terrible environment where there was all sorts of hostility. First of all, stress automatically causes people to go into what is called a starvation mode, and they have low blood temperatures, low body temperatures, and that makes it where they don't have any incentive to move forward at all.
This is very true. All they
can do is just barely move. And
I'm going to say thank you to you. I'm almost out of time, and
okay.
I have to bring it back. I wish that you would call in again.
I'm saying this because of the fact that I actually come from exactly the opposite end of the spectrum, but I've had a whole lot of experience with a black experience, and I know that
I have to bring it into an end. We're coming to the end. I want to say thank you to that man. I really do. I appreciate it because you're absolutely right. Blacks did try to save other people's stores, the people that were good. But what you really need to understand is that riot that day and the riots that were precipitated all over, you have to understand, were started by people who were agent provocateurs who were working for the Nixon campaign. And for you to think that black people are not unwilling to do their own kind in is kind of naive. And what happened that day in that circle was this is that a certain amount of black people went into neighborhoods, threw Coke bottles into a liquor store or drug store. And at that time, there had been over 14,000 National Guard and Washington, D.C. police waiting. And for 3 days, for those of you who don't remember, there was riots. But when the people who were in DuPont Circle were looking at the television and then looking out upon the circle, they were not seeing the same thing. So a lot of the things that were happening in that riot were contrived and controlled by the news media. And you have to ask yourself, what you were fed is what you believe today. And those people who were there are the people that need to talk, like this man that called in. That's the importance of the Inside Hour. That's why talk radio and bbsradio.com is so important in the world today. And all I'm saying is that my hour is over, and I, Reverend Moxie, like to do a tight hour. Dr. Leonard Horowitz gave me this hour this week. I welcome him back next week, and those of you who have questions and want to call in, I encourage it. We'll call in and let us be connected throughout the week. My personal email is roxy@turtleparty.com. Roxy, R-O-X-I-E. There's no Y in me. @turtleparty.com. TURTLE.com. And we can carry on this conversation. Don, you lead me out of here with something good. I love you all. You all have a great week. Reverend Roxy has put her 2 cents in. And remember, folks, it is not a conspiracy. It is an absolutely well-executed plan, but it is 11:59. It is high noon, and we can take a stand. I love you. Aloha.